All right. Well, good morning, Living Hope Fellowship, and welcome back to the Father's house. As you know, we've been recording our sermons from home and on the road, and so it's good to be back in the place that we know is our home, in the Father's house, for what is now part four of our latest series, God's Rhythms of Grace. I just have to continue to say it every time we do it. I love to hear the prayer of the saints, and I love to see how God uses that all together for encouragement, for uplifting, for the sharing of needs, to what really makes us family in Christ. So I thank you for all of that. I'll take us to the throne one more time, and then we'll get into the message. Father God, once again, we are just so thankful. So thankful that in times such as these, so much turmoil, so much chaos, so much confusion, so much heartache, and we don't even know what's around the corner, that there is one constant thing in all of reality and in our lives and that runs this globe, and that is you, Father. We're thankful that we're not the ones that have to figure out how things will be worked out for good. We're not the ones that have to provide for everyone's needs. We're not the ones in charge of making sure everything's okay, but we trust you to do that, Father. So as we continue to live this life out, Lord, and as the temptation arises to complain, to become depressed, to become frustrated, to become angry, Lord, that instead of giving in to temptation, that we would fixate our gaze on you, that we would become more like our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, in knowing how to take all those feelings, all the problems, all the circumstances, all the situations, and to bring them before your throne, and that we take our hands off of it, because we know that Daddy is the one, our celestial Daddy, our eternal Daddy is the one who's going to make everything okay. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, part four. God's Rhythms of Grace. So this week's topic is keeping the Sabbath holy. So if you haven't been a part of this series yet, which is okay, understand that what we're talking about in God's Rhythms of Grace is the way God intentionally created a specific tempo for our lives. And in that tempo, we talked about how the very seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, are reflections of the fact that there are cycles of seasons that God takes us through and things that we are to expect. We've already had three sermons kind of done on that. And so now we're getting to one of the other rhythms, which is keeping the Sabbath holy. And I think this will really minister to us. My question for you today is this. How do you know, or how could you know, if you are operating and experiencing the grace of God in the midst of everything that's going on, right? And I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes people are so disconnected from reality, so disconnected from others, that when they see pain, they see struggle, they see death, it doesn't really impact them because it's not a part of their everyday life. Well, here in the Bay Area, you know, we've been experiencing our share, perhaps even more than our share, of pain and suffering and unrest, like I said, because of COVID, because of civil unrest, and now because of the fires and the evacuations that are going on, air quality being down. So one of the things that I believe God has in store for us, and I shared this back when we did our Thrive series, is that although everything seems to be crumbling all around us, that doesn't mean that we need to operate out of despair or out of fear, or out of anger, but that we can actually have the peace that the Holy Spirit offers in the midst of all of this. And so I hope to be able to share with you perhaps one of the reasons I am able to model for you this type of peace, this type of rest, this type of experiencing grace. And so it all goes to one, and our candidates for deacons and ministers know this, one of the biggest disciplines and that of my intimate connection with God is based on Sabbath. You can speak to them more about it if you have time. Pick their ears. They've been into this. But Sabbath is one of the ways, it's, as Pete Scazzaro says in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, it's the rope tied to the house in the middle of a blizzard. When you can't see your own hand in front of your face because the storm is so severe, because there's just this whiteout where you can't see anything. It is the it's what's tied around me. It's what I'm hanging on to that continues to lead me back to God so that I'm not going to make decisions out of fear, out of anger, out of need, out of perceived need, but I tap into God's kingdom vision, which just brings peace, like a legitimate Holy Spirit empowered peace that you can't get anywhere else. So today we're going to be coming from the book of two different places, actually. Deuteronomy 5 will be our main text, but we'll also use Exodus 20, both of which are the Ten Commandments. And we're not going to focus on all 10 today. Not saying this is more important than any other one. We're just focusing in on Sabbath. So we're dealing with Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting with verse 12, which says, this is God obviously telling Moses to tell the people, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So Sabbath day, to stop. The word from the Hebrew is to cease or to stop. And so I just want to remind you, in case, because I want this ingrained in us. Not indoctrinated, but ingrained, so that it just becomes as natural as breathing. When we're talking about God's rhythms of grace for us, his children, what we're specifically talking about is God's intentional and spiritual patterns for humanity that account for the nourishment his children need for redemption, rest, and renewal as they each run their race. As we've talked about different series and destiny, God's destiny for you, his calling on your life, you have an individual race that you're running that is really a marathon. And that marathon that you're running has its uphill climbs, its downhill climbs, its, you know, beautiful sunsets and grassy areas and beach on the sand. It also comes with, you know, rocks and shards of glass. So all these different terrains that you have to go through, God, knowing that in advance, sets up these rhythms of grace. And it is to be able to experience his presence, to be connected with his will, and to receive his Holy Spirit-empowered peace in the midst of the most terrible and terrifying of situations. So when we talk about God's rhythms of grace, we're talking about the things that God started out with at creation for us, for humanity, for his children specifically, so that we would not only be able to survive this life, but thrive in it with him. So we're going to go to principle number one this week, which is keeping the Sabbath holy is God's command for you to have regular, recurring intervals of rest and renewal. The Sabbath is meant to occupy a sacred and non-negotiable place in your life. Remember, the Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Recommendations. Right? Not the 10 good ideas. This is a command from God. And it's interesting to me that, you know, while we see Jesus' clarification of the Sabbath in the New Testament, that somehow we've gotten this idea that Sabbath is not important, or that Sabbath was a part of the ceremonial law in the Old Testament, which is no longer necessary because of Jesus. No, not one of the 10 commandments has been done away with. While there were other additional Mosaic laws that were done away with by Jesus, the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, has not been impacted, only fulfilled, and only the fulfillment of it shown to us so that we can understand how to operate in it. So keeping the Sabbath holy is God's command for you to have regular, recurring intervals of rest and renewal. The Sabbath is meant to occupy a sacred and non-negotiable place in your life. So as we look at Deuteronomy 5 verse 12, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you." And this is what I find kind of hilarious. You know, so many people have bad theology regarding who God is. And, when wildfires and things like this happen, you know, we know the lightning, 10,000 strikes that happen in the Bay Area. They call those acts of God. So anytime there's something bad, the non-believer, that's an act of God. But they won't recognize God in any of the goodness or the good things that happen. The interesting thing is, as God continues to get this bad reputation from those who have no relationship with him, they don't even understand that God has commanded us to rest. He's commanded us to be refreshed. He's commanded us to be renewed every 7 days. I don't know about you, but that does not make him a bad master to me. The fact that he's commanding that we must stop, we can't dedicate our whole lives to nothing but work, shows you the good father and master that he is. It's we are the ones who have, even as Christians, even as followers, even as lovers of God, who have gotten out of whack because we are not following his rhythm of grace. And so if we don't follow his rhythms of grace and understand where they come from, then it's going to be very difficult for us to receive all that God has in store for us. How can we feel rested? How can we feel refreshed? How can we receive God's peace, legitimate peace? It's going to be very difficult to do so if we're living outside of the rhythms of his grace. So as we get to principle number two is, keeping the Sabbath holy is a part of God's rhythms of grace for you because it bears witness to the gift of life, its meaning, the way you understand it, and its ultimate purpose in God. I told you that we have two different texts where the Ten Commandments appears in the Old Testament. First one was Deuteronomy 5, which is what we read. Exodus chapter 20 is pretty much the same thing, except for the reasoning for the Sabbath. It's an additional reasoning. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." I'm sure some of you have thought about this, and maybe some of you have not. Did you ever stop to think, why did God rest on the seventh day? Was our infinite, all-powerful, eternal God tired? Why would he stop? Why would he stop to rest? And so this is where we get confused sometimes. We think as Christians, oh, yeah, if I need the rest, I'll take it. If I get tired, I'll take it. No, that's not what God said. God didn't say, once you're finished, get rest. He demonstrated and he modeled for us the very thing he wanted, which is when the seventh day comes, he finished, he rests, and he asks us, he invites us into that celebration of his work. He invites us into the celebration of rest and renewal for his creation in a way to experience connectedness. So whether you keep the Sabbath or not, and of course, number one, please understand, I'm not putting anybody down if you don't. I'm assuming most of you don't, which is why I believe God is trying to bring up these rhythms of grace along with the ones that come in the next weeks and the ones that came before. We have not really thought about the fact that this are God's rhythms for life for us. And so we need to get back to, number one, obeying, right? We have to get back to obeying the word of God in its entirety, especially in the ways that are very clear. We will always run into situations where we're not always going to know God's will 100%. But there are the things that we know 100%. This is non-negotiable. And when we know it, we need to be obedient. Because not only for the sake of obedience, but for the sake of walking into the rhythms of God's grace for our lives. So keeping the Sabbath holy is a part of God's rhythms of grace for you because it bears witness to the gift of life, its meaning, the way you understand it, and its ultimate purpose in God. And here's what I mean by that. Keeping the Sabbath holy is the way God wants us to acknowledge His big picture. The big picture is that He is on the throne, that this world is His world, and that our existence is His gift to us. The big picture is not me, not my family, not my country, not my world, not my desires, etc. See, when we take that Sabbath rest, we enter into the celestial picture that God has, the kingdom perspective that God has. We're able to tap into that. Because when we don't do that, instead of our worldview expanding to be able to connect with what God sees, it starts to shrink more and more. Without God's rhythms of grace, our God gets smaller while our problems get bigger. And the very intention of communion with God, koinonia with God, which happens during Sabbath rest, is so that our God, we start to see our God being as infinite as He is. We'll never know the fullness of it. But little by little, we'll come to discover how much greater, how much more powerful, how much more loving, how much more merciful, how much more gracious He is through all of it. But we can't do that if we're not taking the time to think about it, meditate on it, and commune with God in it. The very fact Sabbath is so related, this will probably come next week, is so related to being able to hear the voice of God. If you don't take time for relationship and to listen, how will you ever hear? And then now we start to get mixed up and we start to make our own desires, our own wants, the voice of God in our life. So Sabbath centers us on remembering this is God's world. God sits on the throne, and the big picture is what He's doing in the world, not what I want to do in my world. And this takes us to principle number 3. Keeping the Sabbath holy is a part of God's rhythm for your life because it requires legitimate trust in Him. Why do we as a society, especially in the West, why do we work so hard? Why do we work 7 days a week? I can tell you about times growing up that both my parents were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And then I was the eldest of the 4 children. Both I and my brother Joaquin, who's a pastor as well, were also involved in working long hours with them. Not like them. They were adults. We were kids. But my parents were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Let me tell you why I know that when you don't take Sabbath rest, there's no way for you to hear God. I'm not saying it's impossible to hear God. What I'm saying is you're not going to hear God as clearly as He wants you to, and it's going to take a lot longer for you to really receive all that God has in store for you. Because we won't slow down. Because we're busy achieving, even though it's good things, right? My parents didn't work because they were greedy millionaires. We were scraping by as a family. They needed to work to be able to provide. But in the end, and God has taught my family this time after time after time, and that is that we will be provided for if we trust. But the more we trust in ourselves, the more we trust in our own hard work, the more we trust in our own financial planning, the more we see these things crumble to pieces. Why do we, you know, why are people so devastated, and rightly so? Why are people so devastated when they lose their homes in fires? When they lose their homes, in mudslides and all these things? Because the first thing we think is, how much did I invest? I put everything into that. You know how much I sacrificed for that? And like I said, rightly so to an extent. But the bad part is, it shouldn't be everything for us. When we see, God created us with the need to worship. And even though we worship God, we often resemble our spiritual forefathers in that we add things to worship with God. Yes, we worship God. We recognize God as the one true God. Israel did too. But they added the Balaam. They added the Baals. They added the towers of incense on the high places where they burned incense to other gods. Ours doesn't look the same, but it's still the same. How many times do we give ourselves over to the idols that are our jobs? How many times do we give ourselves over to the idols that are our homes, right? Where, you know, we come to this decision where, okay, I can afford that home, but now to afford that home, I have to pick up an extra day's work. And if I pick up an extra day's work, that means I can't go to church. If I can't go to church, that means I'm not reading the Bible. If I'm not reading the Bible, it means I'm not connecting with God. And we make those decisions consciously. We don't really understand the consequences until we're living in the middle of it, and now it's too late. Now you've enslaved yourself to something other than God. And the Sabbath is about helping you recognize who your master is, who you're counting on provision from. It takes faith. It takes trust to stop all that you're doing for one 24-hour period. It's a humbling thing, not humiliating negative. It's a humbling thing to understand that if you stop for 24 hours, the world's not going to crumble around you. See, we get a God complex. If I don't do it, no one will. Well, maybe nobody's supposed to. Or maybe you're not supposed to. Do we really depend on God for provision? Sabbath rest does not mean laziness. It does not mean, you know, doing nothing with your time. But it means dedicating to the Lord that 24-hour period every week so that you rest, so that you're refreshed, and so that you connect with God and you recognize Him for who He is. Principle number 4. Keeping the Sabbath holy is not about specific do's and don'ts as much as it is about loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. I know that, you know, so many people, when they understand Sabbath as key to their relationship with God, they want to make a change. And one of the things you need to understand is I often say, is that the very, you know, when you're about to initiate something new that is favorable to God, that brings God honor and glory, you must expect hostile opposition at the get-go. That is not a sign that God doesn't want you to do it. That is more a confirmation that God does want you to do it and Satan doesn't want you to do it. So as you try to dedicate yourself to Sabbath rest, understand obstacles are going to arise. Unforeseen obstacles are going to arise. And then you're going to, you know, if you're listening more to other spirits and other voices versus the voice of God, once you screw up, you know, one time in the day on the Sabbath, the thought's going to be, well, I already messed up. Who kind of cares? No, that's not God's voice. Even if you mess up, I would even argue it's really difficult to mess up. Even if you mess up, don't let guilt and shame be what drives you. Get back to your center. God, this is for you. I know I messed up. I can tell you in my Sabbath rest, it ain't perfect. I mess up all the time. But it's the heart of the matter, not the rules. We need to understand Sabbath rest and our desire to enter into it is a heart attitude. It is a inner being attitude. Am I willing to do this at any cost? Will I fail while I try to do it? Of course. But will I get better as I get disciplined and as I practice? Of course. And so understand that it's not about do's and don'ts. Get over that. Right? It's kind of like this. Imagine a couple being married, right? And they're saying their vows at their wedding ceremony. It's beautiful. They're crying. Everyone's crying. And when they say, I do, imagine if, you know, the bride first says, I do, and then the groom says, I do. They're pronounced to be husband and wife. And imagine if before they even walk off, the now husband turns to his wife and says, but how exactly do you want me to celebrate this anniversary in the future? How much do I have to do? Or what can't I do? Right? That's not the point. The point is if you're in love and you're in covenant and you're committed to one another, it's not about the do's and don'ts. It's about the desire to love. It's the desire to connect with the person. And of course, the person in our Sabbath is God, but it's also we're connecting with the gift that God has given us here on earth. Principle number 5. God's command to keep the Sabbath holy. I'm going to stop there. Pay attention right here. This is going to probably rock your world. You can give me negative feedback if you don't agree. This is going to be controversial. Principle number 5. God's command to keep the Sabbath holy is only for those who have been redeemed by their relationship with our Lord and Master. Sabbath rest, the commandments of God, the laws of God, as Paul says in the New Testament, is not for the non-believer. It's for those that have already been redeemed. And think about what we do sometimes as a culture and as a society of Christians. We, historically speaking, Christianity has tried to impose its laws on the non-believer. And then we get upset when they don't follow. So my question to you, and I'm like I said, this is going to be controversial because I need you to think God's big picture, not our regular type of thinking. So let me ask you this. When I say we impose our laws on the non-believer, what am I talking about? What I'm probably talking about is things like implementing prayer in schools and hanging the Ten Commandments in public places. Do I want that? Yes. Do I believe that's the answer to all our problems? No. Never. Do I believe that's what leads to genuine faith? No, I don't. And here's why I tell you that. What is it that we hope to accomplish by imposing God's commands on those who don't know him? So let me ask you this, and this is not judgmental at all. Please understand this is not coming from a critical spirit. I need us to think deeper. I believe God wants us to go deeper. So think about how many people you may or may not know who have no problem saying a blessing over food, right? God, thank you for this. Think about how many times, you know, when in casual conversations with folks that are not really dedicated to Jesus and something good happened, thank God for this. We thank God for his blessings, right? How easy that is for people to say while living a life that's completely disconnected from the gospel. Think about this also. When prayer was in schools, when Ten Commandments were everywhere, when Pledge of Allegiance, and I shouldn't mention Pledge of Allegiance because that's not God. When those things were everywhere, was Christianity flourishing? Was it just like wildfire taking over everything? No. In fact, the very leaders that we have in this nation and around the world that are the most hostile to Christianity grew up in a time when they prayed in schools and when Ten Commandments were everywhere. Did you ever stop and think about that? I know we talk about the good old days when this and this and this, but godlessness came out of those places. People came out godless even though they were praying in school. People came out godless even though Ten Commandments were hanging everywhere. That's because God's laws and commandments are for the redeemed, not for the lost. And so what we have to think about is when we try to impose certain rules on non-believers, what's our goal? Is it to make better citizens for America or the world? Is it to make better behaved children? Is it for a better society at large? While none of those things are bad, they're not the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the goal of the gospel is to change those who are not God's people into those who are God's people. So paying public lip service to prayer or placing the Ten Commandments on public buildings more often than not only leads to promoting false religion. That is neither Jewish or Christian, and there's nothing faithful about it. Hanging things up, there's nothing faithful about that. It's about the obedience of the Word of God, not lip service to the Word of God, not putting up, not saying that's a good thing. Obedience to the Word of God is the goal of the gospel. And so what we need to understand is we need to be the kind of people that obey God so that we can demonstrate and model that obedience so that others can follow. It doesn't do us any good to agree that the word of God is good if we won't do it. And Sabbath is one of those areas where we do that, right? We know it's a Ten Commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, but we won't obey. And then we justify why we shouldn't, or we reason why we shouldn't, or why that doesn't work. Come on, man. Ten Commandments? Really? Or would we dare do that with any of the other ones on that list? It's not there by accident. We need to be people that do more than agree that the word of God is good. We need to obey because it's for our own good and for the good of everyone around us, especially the lost. Principle number 6. Keeping the Sabbath holy will keep us connected to God in any and every storm. I was referring back to the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. He actually got it from another book that escapes, the title escapes my mind right now. But this gentleman in this book was talking about how in the Midwest, they would get blizzards so bad, snowstorms so bad. And this, you know, he's talking probably about 1800s, maybe even early 1900s, where, you know, you're talking about ranchers, you're talking about farmers, people that have livestock, that they would have to go from their home to their barn. And although they walked that path day in, day out for years, in the middle of a blizzard, it's not the same thing. Because in a terrible one, they couldn't even see their own hand in front of their face. And what happened was, in the journey to get to the livestock to feed them, many of them died. They would only be, you know, maybe 100 yards from their home, a path they walk up and down every day. But because of the blizzard, they were blinded and they would freeze to death outside. So what they discovered was that the best way to do this was before the blizzard came was to tie a rope from their home that led to the barn, and they would have to hang on for dear life to that rope. They must not let go of that rope or else they were going to die. And what I think, and the point of that book is that the Sabbath is that rope for us. God, you know, God is the home. God is what we want to be connected with at all times. God is our safe haven. God is our protector. God is our provider. But these rhythms of grace, not just Sabbath, but the rhythms of grace are the very rope that lead us home. They lead us into the goodness of God, but only if we hang on to them. The rope serves no purpose if it's dropped on the ground and nobody's using it. The Sabbath is a gift for us, the spiritual children of God, so that we can thrive through all of this that's going on right now and more and past. It'll keep you connected to God in any and every storm. I can tell you that over the last several years, my life has dramatically changed because, and I practiced the Sabbath in my 20s. I probably had a period of about 8 or 9 years, and I know how difficult it is, and I'm going to show you why. So I practiced Sabbath in all of my 20s up to about 30 years old. And then when I go to seminary, and in my devotion to know God, to know more about God, to pursue His plan for my life, because I'm taking school full time, doing ministry full time, working 2 part-time jobs, guess what's the first thing that gets disconnected? It's my Sabbath. And so I know what it is to want to do the will of God and to forsake the Sabbath. And because I lived the Sabbath before and the Sabbath after that time period, I can tell you that I was more unbalanced during those times when I was pursuing God the hardest because I didn't have the rest. I didn't have the renewal. I didn't have the communion. I wasn't disconnected from God entirely. But what I experience now and what I experienced before that is just infinitely greater than when I wasn't taking the Sabbath. I can hear the voice of God better. I don't lose my temper. I don't get out of control. I don't feel lost. I don't feel like the ground is, you know, dropping out from underneath me, no matter what storms come. And I've had worse storms
on this side. And it doesn't matter because God allows me to enter into his cosmic worldview to see things long before they come. And even when they catch me by surprise, because they don't catch God by surprise, I can enter into his rest and his peace and his refreshment. God, this is what God offers every single one of us. We just have to choose to walk into it. It's a gift, and it's a gift that he gave us, and we all have it, but most of us threw it in the closet. It's still there, perfectly wrapped, with the beautiful bow on it, but it's doing us no good because it's thrown in the back. It's not a priority in our life. And this is what I'm encouraging us to do by my experience, by my modeling, by the modeling of our master. Don't let the fact that he was correcting the Pharisees and Sadducees on their legalism lead you to believe that he does not celebrate Sabbath. That would be ridiculous. Understand the rhythms of grace that God has put in at creation and that Jesus himself modeled. Principle number 7, our last one for today. Keeping the Sabbath holy will always be a part of the rhythms of God's grace because it is God's metronome for our lives. I know not everybody's a musician, but a metronome is a device that musicians use, and it actually goes back to the Greeks. This is thousands of years old. It's a device that makes a clicking sound or an audio noise according to the timing that you time it. So those who play instruments use metronomes to stick on the right beat and the right rhythm. And it's funny because, you know, Hannah is learning piano right now. And Sarah, used to play piano. So when Hannah is just trying to get it done and she's not focusing on doing the best, she gets all out of rhythm. The notes are all there, but her rhythm's not. Her timing's not. And so Sarah will tell her, hey, you're going too fast. You're going too slow. And Hannah's frustration, just like ours, is what does it matter? I'm playing the notes, and it sounds good to me. What does it matter that I do it according to the metronome? And the bottom line is this. The metronome does not exist for the individual instrumentalist. The metronome exists for the team. Because you can do your own individual piece according to your interpretation of it, which is fine. But when you now get into a group of other, you're in a band, you're in a orchestra. If you're not following the rhythms of the metronome, which is everybody's signal on how to do this song, you're going to screw it up. You're going to be out of whack with everyone, and you're going to throw everyone else out of whack. And so keeping the Sabbath holy is one of the threads that ties all of God's individual instruments into one cohesive magnum opus. One masterwork, one master symphony that God is playing in this world. Here's what I mean by that. Imagine what our church would be. I'm not even going to go to the world yet. Imagine what our church would be like if every single one of us was on the same page on Sabbath. If everybody's taking a Sabbath during the week, which means we're taking time to stop, we're taking time to rest, we're taking time to contemplate with God, we're taking time to have fun, to delight in the Sabbath. If every single one of us dedicated ourselves to that, I guarantee you that the change that would happen in each of us individually would trickle down to our families where they would want to be a part of it. And what it does is it enhances our ability as the community of God to discern the voice of God, to be on the same page as God, so that when we come in and we start to have to make decisions, or we're thinking, we're praying for people, or we're praying for this, God will so unite us. Because we're all in that same page in accepting his rhythm of grace that is going to overcome a multitude of difficulties and barriers. The best example I can give you of this is, I'm sure you have all experienced it as believers, when God is communicating something to you, and it's bigger than you because it involves other people, but he starts to put it in your heart, he starts to make it clear to you, and there's a time, you know, that it takes to be able to express it to someone else. But when you go and you go to talk to someone who's involved in this, you know, vision or revelation God's given you, and you start to talk about it, and they tell you, man, that's the same thing God's been telling me. Right? I know you've experienced this. Imagine if the whole church was doing that. Imagine if we succumbed and surrendered to that type of power from the Holy Spirit to drive us in our individual lives, in our family lives, and of course, in our corporate worship life. This is why God's rhythm of grace regarding keeping the Sabbath holy is so important to the community of God at large. Because, you know, even now we're seeing how many Christians are divided over mass or no mass. You know, gathering or not gathering, right? Black Lives Matter or they don't matter. You know, all this different stuff. If we were entering into the rhythms of God's grace, we may still have our own opinions. But I assure you, the way we would execute them, the way we would live them out, the way we'd be able to pray for one another, to partner with one another, would be a beautiful orchestra that God puts together. It would be a beautiful symphony of all these different instruments and backgrounds working together to make the beautiful music that God had the way he wrote it, not the way we want to interpret it. So let's think about that. Do you want all that God has in store for you? Do you want to receive and experience the gifts that God has already put in as the baseline for his creation? And if you do, what's stopping you? Why won't you do it even though you know it's the word of God? And will you allow us to partner with you to keep you accountable to make sure that you do? Amen. Father God, we thank you once again, Lord, for the beauty and the clarity of your holy word. Lord, I know that when we experience conviction here in Living Hope Fellowship, it's not for guilt, it's not for shame, it's not so that we feel like garbage, but it's the ultimate encouragement to drive us more and more into your loving arms. So, Father, as we take in this message, as we take in your message, help us be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Help us enter into the rest that you built into our lives. I know that so many of us are so overwhelmed with multitasking where, we would lose our head if it wasn't screwed on tight. Father, we know that's not your pattern for life. It's not your pattern for our life that we'd be always hurried, always distracted, forgetting things, trying to accomplish a million things in a day, only to wake up to the same rat race that we've been living for years. Father, as the pastor of Living Hope Fellowship, on the behalf of your daughters and sons, I receive this gift for us. Lord, I pray that every single one of your children would surrender to you so as to be able to receive this gift, to stop worrying about how ends will meet. You've already shown us how little control we have during the shelter in place when many of us lost our jobs or were cut off from work, and yet you have provided. Lord, help us to understand that you and you alone sit on the throne, that you and you alone are the one who provides. Yes, we work, but we really can't provide. There's so much outside of our control, and you have made that so clear in 2020, Lord. 2020, Lord, you're giving us vision. You're giving us clarity. And Lord, I pray that we would receive your revelations as being merciful and kind, because we know that the history of mankind tends to only get worse. depravity seems to take us over more and more with every passing year. And yet you right now are calling your remnant, you're calling your faithful to step up and to stop being a part of this system. You're letting us know that eternity has so much more to offer with you. You're giving us the choice to stand with you and not with any idol. So, Lord, I pray that like all our series, but especially this series, that we would take the time to stop, to rest, to delight, and to contemplate with you what all it is you're doing in us, around us, and through us for your honor, your glory, and your praise. Father, we thank you, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.